Swift 98 and The Spur, all part of the SVI Radio Network. And U.S. Senator John Barrasso is in studio with us today, driving through Lincoln County. And, well, Senator, welcome back to Star Valley. Appreciate you stopping by.
Always great to be back. And studio looks terrific, and I'm looking forward to the fair parade in August. You know, I'm always here. Love it. I have a great picture of it in my office in D.C., where heading down one side of the street, and then you turn around and come up the other side. And Dan Dockstader's in the picture as well, because he's on one of the other floats. And as we're coming this way, there's some horses going the other way who do what horses tend to do in parades. So it's a great picture, and I see it every day in my office. And
excellent.
Right here.
Well, I agree. It is one of the better parades around the state. Well, we appreciate you taking some time to talk with our listeners about what's happening in D.C. and in Wyoming. And let's just jump right into some of the big issues. And, of course, the thing on everybody's mind right now is inflation and gas prices. And just across the street from us, we're inching right up near that $5 mark, Senator.
The national price today average is $4.76, a little lower than that in Casper, where I came up from this morning. You can see the Maverick right here across from the studio. People all around the country are paying the price of these terrible policies of this administration. You know, Joe Biden came into office day one, declared war on American energy and American fossil fuel, killed the Keystone Pipeline, blocked oil and gas leases, and he has been just terrible for our country and clearly terrible for the pocketbooks of hardworking men and women, certainly all across Wyoming, but also across our entire great country.
So what can be done, if anything, or what is being done, I should say, to help curb that and try and bring that back to some sort of reasonable level?
That's the issue, and I talked to the governor about it this morning as well, because the administration continues to be at war with the bread and butter of so much of Wyoming's economy, which is oil and gas. And we have it here. We have it in the ground. People around the world, around the country and around the world, know that we have it here, and we know that the president will not let us get in the ground. He is so beholden to these radical, extreme climate elitists. You know, they have this snub superiority of, oh, if you were just as smart as me kind of thing, that then we would look, these guys are just on a war with America, on a war with our economy, and are hurting American families, and they think they're doing good and saving the world, and they're just flat out wrong. They're hurting America. They're making us weaker. We saw Vladimir Putin use energy as a weapon, and we have it here. After President Trump was here, well, he was here last weekend in Wyoming. After his visit, it just highlights the fact that when Joe Biden came into office, we were energy dominant as a nation, and now we're energy dependent again. It was announced today that Joe Biden's going to head to Saudi Arabia and ask the crown prince there for more oil. We have it here. Why aren't we getting it out of the ground here? Why? Because he just worships at the altar of the climate extremists. He will not do what the American people need. Three-quarters of Americans think that the country's heading in the wrong direction. There's going to be a bloodbath coming the election in November, with the Democrats getting thrown out of the House, thrown out of the Senate. Of course, Joe Biden's still going to be president. He's going to have another 2 years left. We're trying to do everything we can to put roadblocks in his way so he can't continue to do the sorts of things he's doing. There are a number of Democrats now that are starting to agree with us because they're hearing it when they go back home. They're getting an earful. A lot of them don't go home every weekend. You know me, I come home to Wyoming every weekend, much better in Wyoming than if you're in D.C. So home every weekend, travel the state, listen to people, watching the gas prices go up. It's hard to believe that just, 16 months ago, gas was $2.38 a gallon. That's what it was when Joe Biden took office. Now we're looking at an average of $4.76.
U.S. Senator John Barrasso in studio today. Speaking of energy in Wyoming, outside of oil and gas, Wyoming's really making big leaps and bounds in energy production, in electricity production. When you look at Wyoming and what it's trying to position itself across the nation, maybe just talk to that and where Wyoming is headed as an energy state.
Well, we need it all. We have the abundance here in Wyoming of renewables, of oil and gas, of coal, of uranium for nuclear energy. We have it all, and we need it all. And I always think of Wyoming as the best stewards of the land. We want to make energy as clean as we can, as fast as we can, and doing it in ways that don't raise costs for the American public. So when Joe Biden says he's going to go to Venezuela to a dictator to ask him to produce more oil, when we have it here in the United States, and I tell you, you look at the people who produce energy in Wyoming, we do it by such strict environmental standards. It's such a clean production. They don't do it that way in Venezuela. We had hearings a couple of weeks ago, and I had this big chart of the cleanliness of how clean the energy is coming out of the ground and how we produce it. In Wyoming, it's 17 times cleaner than what's coming out in Venezuela, but Joe Biden's going to Venezuela. I mean, you can't believe it. And then we asked the Secretary of Interior, who oversees all of this federal land, I asked her, well, do you think gas prices are too high? And this was when it was $4.61. Now it's $4.76, so it's up 15 cents since then. She hemmed and hawed and yimmed and yawed and talked about COVID and talked about Putin. She would never admit that it was gas prices are too high. Then I said, so it doesn't seem like you're willing to admit that gas prices are too high. She went on and on again, climate change, saving the world. People are suffering. You know, it's just commencement time for the high school. I saw in the paper, the FFA kids getting their banquet. You have grandparents who can't afford to come to visit high school students for their commencement because of the cost of gasoline. You have families having to decide to cut things out. Like, what can you cut out so you have enough money to buy gas? We used to talk what it costs to fill the tank. You don't do that anymore because a lot of people can't fill the tank. You have so much money for gas, and that's what you got. And it doesn't get you as far. Gas is twice what it was when Joe Biden came into office. And he doesn't seem to get it or doesn't seem to care. I call him Too Slow Joe. He has been too slow on everything. With inflation, first he ignored it, and he dismissed it, and, oh, no, don't worry about it. Oh, then he said it was going to be temporary. Oh, wrong, wrong, wrong. On energy, oh, don't worry about it. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The border, crime in the cities, formula. I mean, I knew about what was happening with formula from talking to a woman who was in front of me in line at Subway sandwich shop. Because she was saying about how hard it was for her to get formula. So I knew it a month and a half before Joe Biden knew it. Well, he's supposed to have people around him to advise him. I don't know if he's just forgetting all of this stuff or not knowing what's happening. He is too slow to be president of the United States.
Senator, a couple other topics I wanted to bring up, and you just alluded to it with some of the crime, and we're seeing again some recent school shootings and some tragedies around, and the White House response to that, and then Second Amendment is very important to Wyoming residents. What is your maybe solution for some of these issues when it comes to violence in the nation?
Yeah, I think what we saw in Texas was just tragic. I mean, just horrible, heartbreaking for anybody who's had kids, and I have three, anybody who's not had children. I mean, to watch that unfold and be greatly concerned about all of it, and then the police response afterwards, there's still lots of questions. We need much more accountability on that. You need safe schools. Parents need to feel safe when they send their kids to school, and kids need to feel safe in school. So my interest is, what is actually going to help kids be safe at school? We know mental health is a big issue. I'm a doctor, very focused on that. I'm also a strong advocate for the Second Amendment. And when Joe Biden says, we got to do something, the Democrats say, well, we want to pass a law and take away people's guns. I mean, that's kind of where their mindset is. I know these Democrats in the Senate, they've wanted to take away guns, get a federal registry, all of those sorts of things. Rather than focus on the problem of the school safety, mental health of people, and they're talking about these red flag laws. I don't know if you saw those, where 17 states have those. I don't see that for Wyoming, and they're trying to pass that as a federal law. I'm not for that. If a state wants to do something like that, there's no role for the federal government to come in like these states are doing, which involves actually confiscating weapons. There are 17 different laws in 17 different states, and I'm sure we're going to be discussing it next week and the week after that in Congress. I want to know if for somebody that will say, hey, you got to pass a law, I'll say, is it actually going to address the problem? And will it have stopped this crime or that one? Because you look at the numbers, what is it, 38 shootings this Memorial Day weekend in New York City, I think 40-some in Chicago. Those places have the strictest gun laws in the country, and yet it doesn't do anything to address the underlying issue.
Senator, it's an election year. You mentioned President Trump was in the state of Wyoming recently and filled the Casper Events Center. And one of the things that, he addressed was election integrity, which has been a hot topic for a number of years now. As we head into the election season, touch on that for us. Where do you feel election integrity stands, not just in, Wyoming specifically, and then across the U.S.?
Well, I have great confidence in the integrity of the voting system in Wyoming. Other states have other concerns. In terms of Wyoming, what people want is ballot integrity, accountability, and security. And I believe we have that in Wyoming. There are some other states, and you look at what happened specifically with the pandemic that calls into question how well it was done, where they just said, hey, we're going to send out a lot of ballots. You know, in Wyoming, we have mail-in ballots. You can do that. You can request a ballot. People this past year, because of the pandemic, got postcards, not a ballot, but said, if you want a ballot, here, you got to fill this out, send it in. And it works. We have early voting here, and there is integrity. We make sure that the person who says they're going to vote is actually voting. I still like the idea of an election day, where when it was over, you knew who won that day. You know, if you got some ballots mailed in early, count them. Start counting them. So we know that on election night, you know who's won. And they didn't do that. They dragged this on, and there's a case before the Supreme Court this week in Pennsylvania, and new rulings to come. And the U.S. Supreme Court has taken it up. My concern is that Democrats have tried to take over elections for America. They want the whole thing under the control of the federal government. I'm against that. I don't want Washington telling Wyoming how we run our elections. You know, they have these different rank order voting, lots of different things different states do. If that's right for that state, fine. Don't tell us how to do it here. To me, the bottom line is you also want to make sure that the person who is voting is an American citizen and is the person who they say they are. And to me, that requires a photo identification. And whether it's a passport or a driver's license, you have to prove you are who you are if you want to vote and have your vote counted, period. You know, I don't like this idea. They have in some places called ballot harvesting, where they hire people to go around nursing homes and other places to pick up ballots and turn them in. Who the heck knows who they, what they turn in, what they don't turn in, what they help fill out for their own candidate. And these are paid political operatives who go into these locations to do it, whether it's the senior center or others. And I think if you're just sending out ballots, as they do in some states, and then you have other people running around trying to pick them up, fill them out to their own use, I'm not for any of that.
Well, Senator, again, we appreciate you taking some time on your way through and stopping by to talk to our listeners. Anything else that you'd like to mention while we have you on the air?
Well, the other thing I hear about driving around the state and talking to people is just the fact that under Joe Biden, the southern border is wide open. And we don't have border security. The number of illegal immigrants into this country since Joe Biden took office, 16 months ago, is more than in the entire 4 years of President Trump. We know what we have to do. You need to enforce the law. You need to finish the wall. And you need to keep in place the Remain in Mexico and Title 42, which is the public health issue related to COVID. That is what President Trump did. It worked. And Joe Biden has actually started taking down parts of the wall. You know, he seems to be sending out the message, come to America, you can stay forever. And it's just flat out wrong. He's asking for more money for COVID, but if it's COVID is such a problem, why is he allowing anybody that comes in across the border not to be tested, not to whether they're vaccinated or not? Apparently, it's not a problem at the border, but it's a problem around the rest of the country. I mean, this guy is so inconsistent that it's no wonder his popularity or his approval of the job he's doing is at an all-time low. The border agents are swamped with the number of people coming across. They're trying to do their job. They went into that line of work to protect our nation. It doesn't seem to be the case at all in terms of the way they're doing it, because not because they don't want to do it. It's because of the way that this administration is saying, just help them in. Just bring them in. Basically, tour guides rather than border patrol agents. And those are people that we know are coming in. There are a lot of the gotaways, which is why, in our age group, general age group, with the number one cause of death, fentanyl overdose, 107,000 people last year. Those are drugs smuggled in across from the border with Mexico. And for anybody that says, well, you know, it's, all these folks are coming in from Mexico, they are, but they're not necessarily from Mexico or Central America. Over the past year, 150 different countries have people come in who've been stopped at the border. 150. We're talking about Russia. People on the terrorist watch list have been stopped, like over 40 of them. You know, what kind of a commander-in-chief is that? That, to me, is a commander-in-chief who is derelict in his duty to protect our nation. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And that seemed to be what Joe Biden's whole approach is of a guy who's just been too slow to address the needs of our nation. And the American people are suffering greatly, which is why I believe he'll be facing a bloodbath come November.
That's U.S. Senator John Barrasso joining us today. It's part of the SVI Radio Network.